The world of alcohol is a large and fascinating place. As a lifelong storyteller, I enjoy nothing more than hearing people's stories, finding out what inspired them, and really what makes them tick. This is Hudson Lindenberger, the host of Booze News, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Look, the idea of building something for communities, building something for cultures that sort of 99% of the world ignores, that's what we think is our bread and butter.
So, hey, Matthew, thanks so much for jumping on with me. I'm excited to spend a little time today talking about your various endeavors and especially your deeper dive into bourbon you're doing, man.
Yeah, it's, well, first of all, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Hud. It's this thing where we launched back in October. It went great. And so now I find myself day in and day out as the CEO and chief operating officer of like this growing, budding company. So it's been a learning experience and thriving, but it's been fun.
Yeah, I find it, you know, when we talked a few months ago after you launched it, it just seems like such a no-brainer now that we talk about it, that, you know, right. You created a bourbon company that's focused on, you know, you guys are selling spirits to gamers, which specifically Dungeons and Dragons and people that do board games, which at first you think this is crazy, but then you think about it, you're like, it's a big industry and there's a lot of people that are into it and they're very, very passionate about what they do and they've been kind of ignored.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's a $2.2 billion a year industry. And like, there's a guy in the community, he's a good friend of mine, who said the Venn diagram of like whiskey drinkers and D&D players is the perfect circle. Todd Stashwick said that. And I was like, oh yeah, now it makes sense. But look, the idea of building something for communities, building something for cultures that sort of 99% of the world ignores, is where we sort of, that's what we think is our bread and butter. I mean, that's, you know, we've started with this high fantasy Dungeons and Dragons sort of theme thing with Quest's End. There's a follow-up here that we're doing with Sandcake Side and Critical Role, sort of that same, you know, same lane. But later this fall, we have another drop that we're bringing, sort of another flagship brand that's based on another community that, you know, again, we're excited about, we are connected to, we authentically enjoy, and we think that if we build something super cool for them, we're actually doing a tequila, you know, that they'll come out and support it.
That's cool, because, like, you know, you kind of got the proof of concept through Beetle and Grimm, your company, where, you know, you make high-end tabletop games. And I remember last time we talked, you said, look, you know, like, I started doing this and I realized very quickly there was a hell of a market here and people were really passionate. They really dove into this. And, you know, you've taken it where you have Find Familiar Spirits, where your first one was Quest End, which your first bourbon was, what, $149 a bottle, and you sold 5,000 out in 2 weeks?
Yeah, we sold out in 2 weeks and then we launched. The crazy thing is about that whole thing is that we launched a sign-up list because, you know, we held back a bunch of stock because we were worried about breakage. And so we launched like a sign-up list and said, you know, if these go on sale, who'd be interested? And we ended up with 25,000 people on the waiting list. So it was that thing where, as a company, because it was only, you know, at that time, there was only three of us or four of us running the company. I was like, well, we got to go back and get these people. We can't just move on without them. I mean, 25,000 people. So we then launched Paladin Plus One, same juice, same bottle, same everything, but we just inverted the label color, inverted the color structure, restarted the numbers, and then we sold more Paladin Plus One than we did our original launch of Paladin. And now Rogue's out now. We basically doubled our order, and that's still for sale. We still have some Rogue for sale, but Rogue's the single biggest success we've had since. And Warlock drops this summer, and Dragon drops in the winter. So, you know, we've got a whole cycle going. And, you know, the response, the community response has been crazy, like through the roof.
Well, so if you're doing Rogue, are you going to sell 10,000 bottles?
Yeah.
At $149 a bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's so cool about it is...
I think Rogue's less than 10, but... You know, we are, you know, we're right now negotiating to do something in Canada and bring it to one of the provinces in Canada and moving units there. I mean, so it's been this thing, like, you know, it's hard to imagine that we started in October last year. I will tell you right now, Sandkegs, this Critical Role drop, I think it's going to smash all of it put together. I mean, Critters, that community is so voracious, and we've gone out and built something specifically for them that we think they're going to lose their minds over. So, you know, the reality is that since October last year, we'll have four drops and three more coming before the end of the year. So it's been it's been a crazy success, and I think it's beyond anything we could have ever possibly imagined coming out the box. I mean, our distributor said, "Hey guys, opening weekend," he's like, "Hey guys, you know, look, anywhere between 150 and 300 bottles for an inaugural launch of a brand new whiskey nobody's tasted in the first weekend would be off the charts. That'd be huge. You're a small, you know, batched, blended whiskey." That first weekend, we sold half of our stock. I mean, we sold almost 3,000 bottles in the first weekend.
I guess he had to have been just like, what the hell? Wow. Oh, my God.
But yeah, the funny thing is that we are, you know, look, as we're building, it's a little like Hollywood. The minute you stop in Hollywood and go, oh, wow, look, I'm pretty great, is when you get run over by a freaking truck. So, you know, between Justin and I, we are constantly looking like we have lots of things to learn. We have lots of things to build. We have lots of mistakes we're making. We've got to grow and get better. But the good news is that there's a business model, there's a company here that lends itself to really investing in the enterprise, right? As soon as we can add more pieces, add more sort of standard operating procedures, more systems of, you know, of success, like more verticals and more people. Right now there's five of us doing everything, more people, things gonna get huge.
Well, and I think one of it that's what's cool is that, you know, when you realize by putting this out, which you're one of maybe the only one I've ever heard of brand doing this, is like other brands, like, look, you put a bottle together, you put it out, that's it. You know, you've created a whole universe where, you know, it's part of a 16 bottle set that basically takes all these gamers through this whole series, this, you know, really in-depth storyline that you created. Which also, A, look, it creates buy-in. People that want it, they might end up buying all 16 bottles, which, you know, they'll be proud to put out there. But you also, you're not just doing this to say, look, you know, I think we found someone that's sell it. You know, it's kind of creating a product where the people say, this guy really gets us. He knows us. He understands us. And it's a buy-in, which I think is authentic.
I think that's our business model in a shell, right? Like that right there is exactly what we're doing. We are trying to create authentic products and reaching out to community in an authentic way to build community, right? We're never going to be Jack Daniels. We're never going to be Bullet. What we want to be is a community. Like we want to build a community and provide a high-end spirit experience to that community. And it's just different. It's just a different approach, right? Within that, we have four drops in the last 7 months. We've had to iterate four different brands, four different blends, four different cola processes, all these things. We're starting not from scratch, but, you know, our creative rotation, we're 5-6 months out right now. Like right now, we're building glass for October, November, December. We're planning 2025 right now. So, you know, a lot of times you'll spend 2 years putting together a brand, launch it, and then you do everything you can to build the brand, right? We're sort of doing an ass backwards. That's the truth. The truth of the matter is that we're building something, and if you love it, it's gone. It's like a sneaker drop. Once you learn that, hey, each one of these is going to be different. Each one of them is going to be a different blend. It's going to be a different experience. Sand Kegs Hide. Look, Critical Role is the single biggest entity, creative entity in Dungeons & Dragons outside of Wizards of the Coast. They have 2.2 million subscribers on YouTube. They did a $12 million Kickstarter 3 years ago to do an animated series. They're huge. They're a mammoth. You don't know them, but they just sold out playing live Dungeons & Dragons. They sold out Wembley Stadium. Wow. They played live D&D and sold out Wembley. And I'm not talking about like a court to play the whole thing.
So they sold all of Wembley out while they're just sitting there playing Dungeons and Dragons.
They are on stage playing Dungeons and Dragons. No animation, no like, you know, there's no big screen where you're watching like videos. Like they are shooting a table with people rolling dice and they sold out Wembley. So we went out and they have a whole series. I mean, they have an ongoing series. Each one of the shows is 4 hours long, and they had over 150,000 people watching the last episode live. And it was like 9 hours. It's a 9 hour live feed. They have over 150,000, they average over 150,000 people watching it. So our goal, so in season one of their show, Critical Role Vox Machina, season one, episode 65, one of the characters goes into this place called The Shade and he orders this thing called Sand Keg's Hide. Sand Keg's like this giant, like pincher monster in the desert. The guy drinks it. Travis drinks it. His character Grog drinks it. His face goes numb. They all get drunk in one sip and they think it's the funniest thing ever. Like that whole bit carries on for a long time. So what we did is we went out and made the real version of Sand Keg's Hide. That's what we did. We went out and made, like, Matt Mercer, the DM, describes the bottle. It's dipped in wax. It's this green wine bottle and it's got this mark on it. So we went out and built that. We took the flavor profile he described, and Alia Cho is our master blender. She went out and concocted, like we did barrel aging in sherry. We did barrel aging in vermouth barrels to give it these sort of like dark, these hints of red berries and this sort of this earthy tone to it. So she went out and created this concoction around what he described. So, and then we went out and we hired a creative team to write a story. There's a 44-page short story, a novella in there with like maps and like art from this world-renowned artist named Tyler Walpole. So, yeah. So, dude, we are the Lamborghini of geek whiskey. I mean, you know, it's like we're like out here trying as desperately as we can to create something that people are, when they open it, feel acknowledged and they're thrilled to be a part of what we're doing.
Well, and you know, one of the big things about this is it just like what's super interesting, A, with, you know, Find Familiar, and now that you've linked up with Critical Role, is that it taps into the one thing that every brand on God's earth wishes they had, which is a connection with the fans and fandom, which, you know, every brand out there is trying to create a community that's passionate, that's about their product. You haven't had to worry about creating it. You've just tapped into one out there that has been ignored for so long.
Right. Yeah. And did it in a way. And I think it's important. I think there are a lot of brands out there that try to capitalize on the capital of that culture, right? They're trying to use that culture to make profit for themselves. What can I make that makes them happy that I can profit off of? Our approach, I think what makes us a little different, if I may be so bold, is that we are that community and we're building shit that we're really excited about. And our hope is that people are as excited about it as we are. Two totally different propositions. I mean, we're here to make money. It's not like we're out here like, hey, here's free. But I will tell you this. This is $99, not $150. And if we learned anything about Quest End, it's selling like crazy. But if we can figure out a way to bring our COGS down, we will make that for cheaper. We will, because we're more interested in collecting more people and building a community than we are about making an extra $25. And all of that, if we can figure out a way to do it, in the long run, we think it will serve community better and therefore build us in a more fundamental way.
Well, and how did you guys get connected? Because last time we talked, didn't mention this. You know, you just said we have some interesting stuff coming.
Yeah.
But, you know, this connection with Critical Role, and also, you know, you have another one. You said another big community you're going to join up with. Like, are they coming to you guys? Are you going to them? Is it kind of both ways?
It's funny. So when we launched, we got a lot of press. Obviously, my day job is I'm an actor. And so we launched Critical Role. When we launched Quest End, we got a lot of press. And that was a lot of help from PMK and Ryan Smith and our whole team. And so that was huge. So that helped. And so within that, we had all these incoming calls from different brands. We had calls from like TV shows. We had calls from movies. We had calls from studio heads. Like, would you be interested in doing this IP? Would you be interested in doing that IP? For us, we had to be really specific with finding stuff that A, we're excited about and we could do it justice, right? We had a brand come to us, a TV show that's popular. We're not fans of it. It's a good show. It's been around for a long time, but we couldn't figure out a way in. And us figuring out a way in would have been doing like a tchotchke box, or it just didn't feel right. So we passed on it. And quite frankly, we aren't big enough to take in a bunch of IP, right? We only have enough bandwidth to work on the stuff that we're interested in. And also, the minute we start doing that, the minute we start sort of selling out and doing crap that we don't care about, is the minute we're sort of like selling out. And in selling out, we destroy the brand. So Critical Role was a conversation with their brand manager. And we were literally at lunch. We're buddies. And he's like, dude, would you ever want to do something with Critical Role? And I was like, the question is, would Critical Role ever want to do something with us? I mean, Critical Role, for example, Beetle and Grimms did a Critical Role box that's outside of Magic the Gathering products is the single biggest thing Beetle and Grimms ever did. I mean, that community is robust. And so we jumped at the opportunity. And every step of the way, the good news is that team, the creative team, is like, you're killing it. Great job. Perfect. No notes. Which I think hopefully leads to success in the community. That people will open this and be overwhelmed with the amount of time and energy we've put into it.
Yeah, this is it. Cheaper than the last one, $99, and goes live. If I'm correct, it'll be debuted to the community tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow is the... Ooh, you say that, my stomach just dropped. Tomorrow is the... we're getting people to sign up early. So basically what we do is we have to ship in waves. So the first wave ships, and so it's sequential. So the earlier you sign up, people with early access to sign up get 48 hours of early access to... Does that make sense? So you sign up early, you'll get early access for 48 hours. You just have to sign up.
And then as the orders come in and you realize how many you need, then you'll start producing the products and sending it out in waves to people.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So what we're doing is we're doing a window sale. So it's only on sale for 3 weeks. Once that sale is over, the product's gone. So, I mean, look, there's a world. It's not numbered, so we can always come back and do it again. But our goal is to open it up. Hopefully find the community, really touch the community in a way that people are like, oh yeah, I want to buy it. Because it's important. It's only 3 weeks of sale. And then once it's done, it's gone. So we have pre-ordered enough for the first wave, and we won't order the remaining amount till the end of the sale.
Okay. And so the pre-sale starts April 30th to May 1st, then from May 2nd to May 23rd. All the fans of Critical Role that are on it, you know, they can start buying.
That's anyone, yeah. And from the second to the 23rd, anyone can buy it. For the first 48 hours, only people who sign up for early access get that early access.
Is there any fear in the back of your girl's mind that you could be like, my God, we just had 38,000 bottles come in total to order, and what the hell are we going to do?
That is not my fear. At some point, somebody was like, what happens if we can't produce enough? And I was like, we will produce enough. We will definitely, you know, the other cool thing is that we're presenting we have four blends that we're presenting to the cast. We do that this Friday, actually. And so within that, they will choose whichever blend that they want us to produce. But all those blends, there's enough product in the world that we'd be able to mix the juice. Getting glass from France is a whole different thing, but we'll work on that once we get to 38,000 bottles. Those are what we call high-class problems.
It's like the product that you're going to sell to the folks, it's going to actually be presented. You have four blends. The cast is going to drink it, and they're going to say, yep, this is the one I like. This is it. And then from that point on, you're like, all right, got it. Now we actually know which liquid we have. Let's start bottling.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. When we launched Paladin and we then went on sale with Paladin Plus One, you know, we told everyone it's going to take forever to get there. And it is. It has taken forever because we had to get, you know, we're glasses from France. Our caps are from South America. I mean, there's lots of moving parts. So Paladin Plus One's bottling right now. That will ship out the end of next week, and we immediately start on Sand Kings.
Okay. It's always funny. I love when I talk to people who have come from outside the spirits industry and have gotten into it, because there's a naivety that goes into it that it had this attitude of, why not? Let's just do it, you know? Because I'm sure, like, if there was any industry people, they'd be like, you're doing what? Like, you're actually debuting the product in 2 days that you're going to be selling, that you have to bottle. And it, like, they think it's crazy, but I actually think it's great. It's the definition of where the spirits industry is headed, I think. It's such a quicker moving entity these days.
Yeah. Look, we have to, you know, like I said before, every 4 months, we're reinventing the wheel. It's probably not the smartest way to go about it. I mean, the best way to make money would be to launch a brand and have it for sale every day. that's in our wheelhouse. Like, so we are bringing, you know, a little bit of a scoop, but we're not really, haven't really announced it, but we're bringing an everyday whiskey to the market called Quest End Whiskey in 2025. So that will be available for distribution. That will always be available in our store, a really high-end, delicious blend that's less than $100. Like, you know, can we do it for like $78, $80? Like, how can we make something delicious that we can, that we can provide all the time? That's our goal. I mean, we want to do that. We want to be a profitable business. We want to grow to a really great point. But right now, this is what's exciting. The way we're doing it now is exciting to us. And maybe ask backwards industry-wise. I don't think it's the smartest way to build money or to build a company. But we're loving it and we're having a blast and we're learning, right? I mean, I will say that in all the success and it all sounds great, we have made a bunch of mistakes. We're making mistakes left, right, and center that we have got to continually learn from. And we've got to do a better job at some of the things we're doing. We got to do a better job at, you know, getting it out there. We have to do a better job of communicating. We have to do a better job of building communities. Like, you know, there's things that we have to work on, but we're into it and we're learning and we're pretty happy.
How's Tim think? After Tim went through, you know, his experience with Blue Run, which really kind of did things different and pushed against the norm and did great and got acquired. You know, having him as your advisor, does he see any parallels with Blue Run and you guys did, or is he?
Yeah. I mean, we call him our spirit guide at this point, without a doubt. I mean, we started with sort of his same profile, right? He goes direct to customer. We go exclusively at this point, direct to customer. And Blue Run did the same thing and found great success. You know, Jim Rutledge did their juice. And so it immediately became something that people wanted to collect. We have the same collectability, but in a different way, right? We're community built. Every edition of Quest End is numbered. And Ali Ochoa has just been acquired. I don't know if they've announced it yet, so I don't want to say anything. But Ali Ochoa is now working for a big whiskey house. So she's a master blender at a big whiskey house, which is a huge moment for her and her career. And as her star continues to rise, you know, it's benefiting us. And part of her deal, she was able to stay with us, which has been huge. But yeah, listen, Tim is a lawyer. He's been through it. It was the three of us when we started talking specifically about D&D whiskey. And then we're like, collectively, like, well, let's expand. What if we did, you know, what if we became a movie studio? What if we had different franchises along the way? And so he's been a big part of that. And he, you know, he's invaluable to sort of our overall vision and where we're going and what we want to do.
So you see Fine Familiar growing and just spreading more and more beyond just the alcohol space?
No, I mean, it's funny. We are adding some elements to Dragon that, you know, I think gamers are going to lose their minds over, that I'm really excited about. But I mean, to me, look, we have in our, you know, in our playbook, we have four brands that we're bringing to market over the next 3 years. And Quest End will continue that entire run. Our next drop will continue. Like, so we'll have multiple brands in operation over the next 4 years, all based and built around communities. Some of them are bigger, some of them are smaller, all of them are a little outside the box. And then all of those will move to a daily whiskey or a daily version of as they find their success. And then collaborations, like, we're always looking for collaborations. We're always looking for things that speak to us in a way that we think that we can create something exciting. I mean, the thing with Sand Cake Side is there's 44 pages in this novella. I mean, that's, you know, the art throughout it is beautiful. The map is incredible. Like, all these little touches that we brought to it, that's exciting. We have to be able to find things that we can lift, right? Not just do a whiskey, but add value, add lore, tell a story, build community. But those are the things we really look for in a collaboration.
Do you go to gaming conventions and stuff yourself?
Sure.
And are people just like talking to you and just like, you know, all excited? And now that you're doing this, like, you're even, I mean, look, you already were known for your movies, but now doing this, it's a whole new level in the gaming community.
Yeah, it's so that's been crazy. That's been really exciting. So I do conventions all the time. I do autograph conventions. It's the single biggest way I feed my family. And I do a bunch of those a year. And so for me, one of the great things is that, you know, you'll see people time and time again, or, you know, the more I get out there, the more I sort of spread the word, the more people are investigating and a lot of people are buying. And so you'll see people online with a baseball hat or a t-shirt or a sweatshirt. And that's been, it's been really rewarding. That's been exciting, is that people are hearing the pitch and like hearing about it. And even if they're not into D&D, they're into supporting me, they're into the community, they're into like sort of like this new approach. It goes direct to customer. I think people really like that as well. And so we've had like this crazy response. Walking the floors has been like unbelievable. Gen Con this year, which is the big gaming convention, takes place in Indianapolis. That's going to be, it's going to be really interesting.
And you broke into, you guys just recently got into the UK?
We are in the process of cracking that code. That's what I can say. Not easy. Not easy to deliver and make money at the same time.
Are you finding that with all the success you're having with Find Familiar, that it's getting make it a little harder to act and do acting projects?
I will tell you, I'm literally, as I'm sitting here, I'm waiting for my phone to ring. I tested for a new TV show for Amazon last week, and then I'm apparently going to hear at some point today. So it would be the biggest TV gig I've ever had. You could probably argue. And so it's funny, I'll relocate to Toronto for 6 months to do the show. And if I get it, touch wood. And, you know, my entire team's like, well, what are we going to do? I'm like, I'll work 3 days an episode. We'll be fine. But yeah, it's, listen, I'm a day in and day. I mean, I you know, Justin and I run the company. It's Justin and I and Andrea Darth Flater and David Cohen and Peggy and Lori and Tim and Alyssa. I mean, that's our whole team. That's our whole team.
Wow. For a chaotic 7 months since you came out.
It's crazy. Crazy.
Well, it's killer, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. I mean, it's not as cool as living in South America for 6 months.
Well, only for a month. I'm only down here for a month. But it was funny. I was thinking literally about you like a week ago. We were touring an area outside Medellin, which has all these graffiti. And there was a little Colombian kid walking through the neighborhood, and he was wearing a Freddy t-shirt.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. And I just was, I was like, I know what movie that is, man. So I know exactly what that is.
Well, you know, that is the weird thing, is that when you ignore the business comes and finds you. Like, all you need to do to book a job is book a vacation, you know? And so it's been interesting, this moment of building this company. My responsibilities are with Find Familiar. My heart's with Find Familiar. And the reality is that my career is having this crazy resurgence. I just did a movie with Mike Flanagan that's incredible called Life of Chuck. We're doing the sequel of Five Nights at Freddy's. We're doing the next two. You know, they're doing two more movies at least. You know, it was a chance to get a TV series today. So it's a good moment. All these things, they will all come and they will all go. But right now, having something constant to work on day in and day out has been really exciting.
Beautiful, man. Well, hey, congratulations.
Thanks,
you
know, brother.
It was fun jumping back on a call with you again. And I'm excited to hear about this new product. I think it's a great idea. And, you know, just embracing more of this community. As I told you, look, I grew up playing Dungeons and Dragons. I loved it. And my brother loved it. And, you know, it is an ignored community. And the gamers are out there and they have money and they want to have fun and have someone actually pay attention to them.
For sure.
Cool. Well, have a good one, dude.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it, man.